Good morning. My name is Susan. Today is Monday, August 24th, 2026. I'll be reading today from the Lynn Daily Item, our first article by Dylan Pichnarich. Lynn Police Salute Boy with Cancer. A Lynn boy and his mother received $5,500 donation from Cops for Kids with Cancer during a visit to the Lynn Police Department on August 20th. Five-year-old Joseph, known as Jojo, and his mother were welcomed to the department for a tour before being presented with the check. Police Chief Christopher Reddy, Lieutenant Richard Connick, and other members of the department joined Bobby Hall, a retired Everett Police Lieutenant, and a member of the Cops for Kids with Cancer Board of Directors for the presentation. Cops for Kids with Cancer provides financial assistance to families caring for children with cancer. When an eligible recipient lives in Lynn, the organization notifies the Lynn Police Department, allowing local officers to take part in presenting the donation. Reddy said the organization has provided direct assistance to Lynn families on numerous occasions over the years, helping them manage some of the financial challenges that can accompany a child's cancer diagnosis and treatment. Quote, the direct support that Cops for Kids with Cancer provides through these donations help to ease some of those challenges, end quote, Reddy said. Members of the Lynn Police Department also raise money for the organization throughout the year, he said. Reddy said he was grateful to join members of the department and Hall in presenting the donation to Jojo's family. It's truly humbling to see these families who have endured so much express such deep gratitude for the support Cops for Kids with Cancer provides, Reddy said. On behalf of the men and women of the Lynn Police Department, I want to express our heartfelt gratitude for the good work of the Cops for Kids with Cancer team and the support they provide to families in our community. While many cancer-related organizations focus on funding research, Cops for Kids with Cancer provides money directly to families to help ease expenses they face while caring for a child with cancer. Families typically receive about $5,500, according to the organization's website. Since its founding in 2002, Cops for Kids with Cancer has distributed more than $6.5 million to more than 1,240 families. The organization currently assists 8 to 10 families across New England each month. Our second article has been written by and submitted by Deisha Smith. Linfield Playground set to open. The Summer Street School Playground will officially reopen on September 1st following major renovations aimed at making the space safer and more accessible for students. A ribbon-cutting ceremony open to the public will begin at 3 p.m. at the Summer Street School. The project marks the first major renovation of the playground in 21 years. Before the renovations, the playground was not compliant with the Americans with Disabilities Act, or the ADA, and included broken and outdated equipment. It also did not adequately accommodate students in the school's differentiated learning program, which serves students with higher support needs, including those with sensory and mobility needs. Beyond the school day, the playground serves children participating in Linfield Recreation Summer Camp program and families attending nearby youth sporting events. The renovation was spearheaded by the Summer Street School PTO, led by President Sarah Kelly and Vice President Jenny Sheehan, with support from residents, businesses, community organizations, and state and local officials. The PTO said its goal was to transform the playground into an inclusive, safe, accessible playground serving hundreds of children, including preschoolers, kindergartners, and students with significant sensory and mobility needs. In January, the PTO launched a fundraising campaign and reached its goal within 4 months, receiving contributions from more than 100 individual donors. Major sponsors included Stacy L. Monkiewicz and Family, King and Wallen Family McDonald's Restaurants, Townscape Linfield, Lori and John Sheehan, Steve and Jenny Sheehan, and The Greco, Flaherty, Kielt, Curtis, Kelly, and Sparksy's Family. Local businesses and community organizations also contributed, including Eastern Bank, The Savings Bank, Market Street Linfield, A Healthy Linfield, Linfield Moms Group, Friends of Linfield Recreation, Lawn Bright, Linfield Rotary, Skangus Construction, and Supino Insurance. The Crawford, Gallagher, Markey, Rotundi, and Sartorelli families have also supported this project. Sheehan previously said that State Representative Brad Jones secured $100,000 in state funding for the playground project. The PTO raised more than $100,000 in private contributions in order to supplement the state funding. In our next article, Gordon Hall III Family Foundation Scholarships Awarded. This was submitted by Olivia McKenna Stevens. For 43 Lynn students, the dream of earning a college degree became more attainable thanks to the Gordon Hall III Family Foundation Scholarship, which was awarded a combined $376,500 to local graduates pursuing undergraduate education. Scholarship recipients, their families, and community leaders gathered Wednesday evening at the Lynn Museum and Arts Center to celebrate this year's awardees. The ceremony also marked what would have been Hall's 96th birthday. This evening, we not only celebrate these remarkable scholars and their families, Stephen Phillips Memorial Scholarship Executive Director Barbara Wells Eiler said, but also the lasting impact of Gordon's generosity and commitment to expanding educational opportunities for students in Lynn. Administered through the Stephen Phillips Memorial Scholarship Fund, the Gordon Hall III Family Foundation Scholarship is available exclusively to students who have attended a Lynn high school and reside in the city. Hall believed investing in young people is one of the most meaningful ways to strengthen our community, a vision his family continues to carry forward. Over the years, I've had the privilege of spending many hours talking to him about history and education, Eiler had said. One of the things that became very clear was his belief in the transformative power of education. He felt that higher education expanded our thinking, brought in a new perspective, and opened doors, not only for students, but society as a whole. Mayor Jared C. Nicholson said scholarships such as Hall's help ensure higher education is accessible to students who might otherwise face financial barriers. We're fortunate to live in a country that has unparalleled higher education opportunities and to live in a region that is, in many ways, the capital of that, Nicholson said. And it is frustrating that for all that opportunity, it's not open to everyone. I'm grateful for the folks that see that and act on it. When folks have the means to do that for others, it's truly an amazing gift for the family that it affects, but also the entire community. Hall's son, Max Hall, reflected on his father's lifelong curiosity and commitment to community, saying those qualities continue to define the scholarship that was established in his name. He loved to be part of communities big and small, with people like himself, who are curious, motivated, principled, and certainly with a good sense of humor, Max Hall said. Even though he is not with us in body here tonight, he managed to surround himself once more in spirit with such people. Happy birthday, Gordon, and here's to more learning. The evening concluded with remarks from former Stephen Phillips Memorial Scholarship recipient Eve DeLeon, a Lynn English High School graduate and La Vida Scholars alumna, whose story reflected the opportunities the scholarship is designed to create. DeLeon emigrated from Guatemala after a 7.4 magnitude earthquake devastated her community in 2012. As she adjusted to life in Lynn, she said she struggled to find where she belonged while navigating two cultures and later faced another life-challenging circumstance when she was struck by a vehicle outside her home in 2019. I questioned whether I belonged and whether college was the right path for me in 2019. My path changed again when I was struck by a vehicle outside my home. This event completely altered my life. She encouraged this year's scholarship recipients to lean on those around them as they continue their own educational journeys. In moments when you feel lost, return to your community. Let it ground you. Let it guide you, because sometimes the path forward isn't about having all the answers, DeLeon said. It's about staying connected. And now from the pages of The Opinion. This is Letter to the Editor, dated August 21st. Letter. I know what strong leadership looks like. To the editor. After 24 years serving on the Lynn School Committee, I've learned that strong leadership starts with listening to people, understanding the challenges they face, and then rolling up your sleeves to get to work. That's why I'm proud to endorse Jamie Belcito for Congress. As a Lynn resident and longtime public servant, I have spent decades working on behalf of our children, our schools, and the families in our community. My service on the school committee has given me a firsthand understanding of the challenges facing our public schools and working families. Through my involvement with My Brother's Table and other community organizations, I've also seen the impact we can have when we make sure our neighbors have access to food, housing, opportunity, and the support they need to build a better life. Jamie understands these challenges, not only because she has lived many of them. She has also spent decades working to find solutions. She cares deeply about our communities, and she understands that government should be focused on serving the people. In Congress, Jamie will fight for our public schools, for people experiencing homelessness and hunger, for individuals struggling with mental health challenges or substance use disorder, and for families who are working hard but still struggling to get ahead. After a lifetime of public service, I know the difference between someone who wants a title and someone who's ready to do the work. Jamie Belcito is ready to do the work. Donna Coppola from Lynn. Our next article is from the Political Page, submitted August 23rd by Sophia Harris. Senator Markey finds common ground in Lynn. With the Democratic primary approaching, U.S. Senator Ed Markey brought his re-election campaign to Lynn, where he pledged to fight for federal investment in the city and sought to turn out voters in his race against United States Rep. Seth Moulton on Sunday morning. Markey joined Mayor Jared C. Nicholson and a group of local and state officials for a campaign rally before approximately 70 supporters headed out to knock on doors during the final stretch of the primary campaign. The senator centered much of his pitch on the similarities between Lynn and his hometown of Malden, arguing that his working-class upbringing has shaped the priorities he would carry into another six-year term. Malden and Lynn were sister cities, Markey said. We're the same place in so many ways. Same people, same aspirations, and same dreams. Markey recalled traveling to Lynn and Nahant Beaches as a child after his family bought a car, saying his family did not have a summer home or the means to take extravagant vacations. He said children growing up in communities such as Lynn and Malden should have the same opportunities to succeed as those from wealthier families. He said that continued federal investment in Lynn could help the city build on that growth without becoming unaffordable for the longtime residents. Markey said he expects to serve as a senior member of the Senate committee overseeing infrastructure if reelected, and called for a new $1 trillion federal infrastructure package, saying he wants Lynn to benefit from funding for transportation and other projects. Nicholson said the city needs a federal partner on several long-standing issues, including Kings Beach, affordable housing, and support for Lynn's immigrant population. Quote, "We are doing everything that we can in this community, and we know that the senator is up against a lot down in Washington," end quote, Nicholson said. "But you know he's standing shoulder to shoulder with us in supporting our immigrant population." Immigration became one of the dominant issues of the morning as several Lynn officials pointed to Markey's work with the city and criticized the Trump administration's immigration policies. City Council President Coco Alensug told the crowd that he came to the United States at 23 and was undocumented for a period of time. He credited political leaders who supported immigrants with helping him build a life in the country and eventually the first person of color to serve as Lynn City Council President. "The fight is not over," Alensug said. "We still have a long way to go." Counselor at large Brian LaPierre pointed to the case of a Lynn Public Schools paraprofessional who faced possible deportation earlier this year, saying Markey's office was among those local offices contacted for help. When we reelect Ed Markey next Tuesday, we aren't just getting Ed, LaPierre said. We're getting a solid, competent, effective staff. Representative Dan Cahill said Markey and his staff also provided information to state lawmakers as they worked on immigration protection legislation, particularly on the relationship between state law and federal immigration enforcement. Markey said he would continue fighting federal immigration policies, he argued, are harming families and children in communities such as Lynn. He also criticized the Trump administration's opposition to diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives and its policies affecting transgender people. The senator framed those issues as part of a broader argument over who has access to what he repeatedly called the American dream. What Donald Trump is doing every single day is attacking the dreams of the kids sitting on their porches in Malden and Lynn, Markey said. Markey also said federal cuts to Medicaid, Affordable Care Act programs, and education would hit Lynn particularly hard and pledged to work to restore that funding. Several speakers on Sunday pushed back on criticisms of Markey's age. School committee member Tristan Smith directly addressed the issue, noting that he is young, both in politics and in life, before endorsing Markey based on his record. I look at your character. I look at your consistency. I look at your values, and I can say that I need Ed Markey in the United States Senate, Smith said. Cahill took a more pointed approach, comparing arguments about Markey's age to saying a tall person could not understand or represent someone who is short. If you think that's a ridiculous argument, then you're with me, Cahill said. I don't care if you're tall or short. I don't care what your ethnicity is. I don't care what your age is. I don't care what God you worship or if you don't worship at all. What I care about is how you vote. The event also brought criticism of Moulton from State Senator Joan Lovely, who condemned his attempt to link Markey's campaign to Jeffrey Epstein. Lovely said that the issue was significant to her because she survived sexual abuse as a child. She called Moulton's attack reprehensible and pointed to Markey's work in the Senate to protect children from online exploitation. I was deeply disappointed and frankly crushed when Representative Moulton tried to tie the Markey campaign to Jeffrey Epstein, she said. She continued, I've worked very hard in the state legislature to make positive change, and so has Ed as our U.S. senator, and he's done that to protect our children from exploitation online with a very important bill that he got passed and that he continues to work on to strengthen. Markey closed his remarks by calling on supporters to spend the final days before September 1 primary, encouraging voters to please turn out. If you have my back for the next 9 days, he said, I will have your back for the next 6 years. And now some news from neighboring Swampscott. The best bargain in Swampscott. Shoppers streamed into Big Blue Bargain Saturday morning looking for clothes, toys, books, furniture, and more. The price tag? A reasonable zero. The nonprofit thrift store welcomed 178 shoppers to its latest free pop-up store, filling a separate portable classroom next door to its Clark Elementary School home with donated items that visitors could take home at no cost. The giveaway is a relatively new venture for Big Blue Bargains, but one that board member Diane Parker said fits naturally with the organization's mission of turning community donations back into support for the community. One way or another, whether we sell it or whether we give it away, we're contributing to the community, which is the point, Parker said. The two sides of that mission worked particularly well together on Saturday. Board members Laura Lynn said the extra foot traffic helped Big Blue Bargains regular store record its biggest sales day ever. Previously, Big Blue Bargains had held quarterly, quote, stuff a bag, end quote, events, setting out clothing and allowing shoppers to fill a bag for either $5 or $10. Eventually, Parker said an abundance of donated merchandise led organizers to a simple question. Why are we doing that? Why don't we just give it away for free, Parker recalled. And so it became such a success, and it's growing. There's no regular schedule for the free pop-ups. Instead, Big Blue Bargains volunteers wait until they have enough merchandise to fill the space. Then they announce an opening a few days in advance. So far, Parker said, that has worked out to roughly once every 4 or 5 weeks. Volunteers spread the word through social media, including walkthrough videos showing what shoppers can actually expect to find. The word had certainly gotten out by 9 a.m. on Saturday as shoppers filled the free store upon its opening. And there was plenty to choose from. Saturday's selection stretched all across the space with sections for toys, books, games, sporting goods, pet supplies, furniture, clothing, and shoes sorted by size. There was even a wedding dress waiting for a new owner. Parker emphasized that, quote, free does not mean shoppers were getting items that were damaged or otherwise not good enough for the regular store. Much of the merchandise had simply spent time on the shelves next door without finding a buyer or came from an overflow of donations. Volunteers were stationed throughout the crowd space Saturday, greeting shoppers as they came through the doors, offering bags, pointing people towards different sections, and helping them track down what they were looking for. When one shopper discovered she had found only one shoe from a pair, volunteers immediately joined the search for its match. Everything in both the free pop-up and the regular store comes from donations. Quote, we are blessed to have such an amazing community here that has given us so much, end quote, Parker said. Most of those donations do not stick around for long once the doors open. Parker said that typically about 90% of the free store's inventory is gone by the end of its two-hour run. The pop-ups have also created another benefit, keeping usable items out of the waste stream. Parker estimated Big Blue Bargains recycling has dropped by about 80% to 85% since the free store began. The community focus extends beyond what shoppers carry out the door. Proceeds from Big Blue Bargains' regular thrift store are donated back to Swampscott through grants and contributions to local organizations and projects. Parker said the nonprofit has supported the food pantry, senior center, police and fire departments, schools, and other community needs. Most recently, Big Blue Bargains pledged up to $15,000 in matching donations towards the effort to resurface the track at the Upper Jackson Park. That's our mission. That's our goal, Parker said. I think originally it was for the school system, and then we just grew. And now we give to the entire community. Parker found her own way into that mission last year when she was looking for somewhere to volunteer. Other opportunities had not felt like the right fit, she said, until she arrived at Big Blue Bargains. I found my joy, Parker said. That's been great, just giving back to the community and getting to meet so many people. With donated goods coming in, free store shoppers carrying them back out, and Saturday's crowd spilling over into the regular shop, Parker said the model has worked better than organizers had imagined. Whether an item leaves Big Blue Bargains with a price tag or without one, the goal remains the same. We're doing as much as we can, Parker said. And now from our local sports page. This article was submitted by Steve Krause. An appreciation. Everyone wanted to be with Rick Comfort. Start talking about pioneers in the long history of hockey in Lynn, and the name that will come up immediately is Rick Comfort. A former high school hockey star himself, Comfort, who died of cancer on August 15th at the age of 77, was a longtime president of the Lynn Youth Hockey. But that only tells about one-tenth of his story. Comfort was a coach and mentor to countless men who ended up leading amateur and high school teams, including his son Brian Boyson, who coaches the Lynn Jets. He also founded the website MassHSHockey.com, which became the Bible of fans of the sport at the amateur level throughout the state. He was simply amazing, said Mike Shanahan, who, after a career in the world of finance, is the CEO at the Daily Item. In his youth, Shanahan worked in the skate shop at the old North Shore Sports Center on Boston Street in Lynn, where he came in contact with Comfort almost daily. He was one of the real good ones around here, but his work of cataloging the goings-on was also amazing. True. During my tenure as sports editor of this page, we couldn't have covered high school hockey without the website at our disposal. It provided box scores for games, scoring and goalie statistics, league standings, team ratings, and pertinent history. He changed high school hockey forever, said former St. Mary's coach Mark Lee, who counted Comfort as one of his closest friends. It was mind-boggling how much time he put into that project. If you were into high school hockey, then that was where you went to get your information. Comfort, a former Boston University star, was one of the most knowledgeable hockey guys I've ever known, Lee said. He was also one of the bravest. You know what? There were times he played golf with a chemotherapy tank hitched around his waist. with a prodigious mustache that made him resemble actor Wilfred Brimley, along with his ever-present cigar, Comfort cut an unforgettable figure, both in local hockey rings and at Gannon Golf Course, where he spent much of his time once he retired from his hockey interests. Comfort worked closely with former Gannon pro Mike Foster, helping him run leagues and by working in the pro shop. He had a tough time toward the end, Foster said, but the memories of him are wonderful overall. It got so when I'd go on vacation, I could trust him to keep track of things. He was great with computers and could do all of our stats and our schedules. He was simply a wonderful guy. He was also really inspirational, said longtime member and pro shop staffer Tara Friedman, who coaches golf at Lynn English. He taught us how to keep fighting and to keep going. These are a couple of examples. 2 years ago, when he was diagnosed, doctors gave him 6 months to live, Boysen said. He was still living 2 years later. Earlier this year, he was told there was nothing more doctors could do for him medically. Next thing anyone knew, he was back up at the golf course. He remained engaged up there almost until the end. He'd sit on his deck with his cigar going, and people just wanted to be with him, Friedman said. Everybody wanted to be with him. He was like the mayor up there. Comfort ran the Shoe City Lions Golf League at Gannon, along with the 22 Club. He also established the Misfit League and the Break 35 League. That's when golfers would go out for nine holes and try to break 35, Friedman said. Rick did it often. Boysen said his father was an all-around great guy who did a lot for the community as well, for hockey and golf. He was the type of guy who would give you the shirt off his back, Boysen said. He loved his family and all of us as much as he liked hockey. We threw him a living celebration of life up at Gannon, Boysen said, and I think there were about 500 people who came at one point or another. I want to thank you very much for listening. Once again, my name is Susan. I'm reading today for the Talking Information Center, and I hope that you have enjoyed today's reading. I look forward to reading for you at another time. Thank you very much.